This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasan with Noah Lim and Kyu Soo Chuang in the studio this morning. And we've been talking about the Penjana Economic Recovery Package in Malaysia, but around the world, other governments have also been coordinating their own responses. According to a report by Fitch Ratings, aggregated direct fiscal stimulus measures for the Fitch 20 countries, such as the US, UK, Australia, covered in its global economic outlook, have totaled over $5 trillion US dollars, which is 7% of those countries' 2019 GDPs.
Yeah, that's right. So this unprecedented response outweighs the scale after the global financial crisis when the advanced economies, they took a fiscal easing of only between 3 and 4%. So this is, by some measure, considerably higher. However, Fitch also highlighted that responses of the developed and developing countries have also been rather uneven.
All right. And now for more on this report and global macro responses of the governments around the world, we speak to Marina Stefani, Director of the Economics Team at Fitch Ratings. Is the sum of global response by the governments and central banks enough to ward off the much feared global recession, which some have said could be the worst, could be worse than the Great Depression of the 1930s?
Well, the economic fallout from the coronavirus crisis is likely to be huge. We expect that global GDP to contract by 4.6% in 2020. Of course, the scale of the fiscal easing announced to date is massive and is significantly larger than the fiscal response that we saw during the global financial crisis. And this large policy easing will undoubtedly help the pace of the recovery post-health crisis. And also looking at the massive liquidity injection that central banks that have probably reduced the risk of a credit crunch that would have amplified the recession. And finally, new measures have been announced since our last round of forecasts, including the expansion of the PPP by the European Central Bank. New fiscal packages have been announced by Germany. France has announced its support to the aviation industry, and the European Recovery Fund is being discussed at a European level. So it really shows that governments and central banks are ready to beef up their macro policy response to the crisis, and that will surely help the recovery.
The US has responded with an enormous stimulus package, but if we look ahead, will it achieve the Fed's objectives, which are sustainable employment and stable prices?
Well, the full impact of the crisis on employment still remains to be seen in the medium term. So far, the U.S. economy lost 20 million jobs in April, but then the unemployment rate recovered in May. So that shows that some of the job losses were temporary, but the crisis surely entails a substantial supply shock. And it means that will lead to an increase in structural unemployment in the medium term and probably a permanent loss of jobs. And regarding price stability, as we go further out, the depth of the recession will weigh on core inflation, and also oil price declines will reduce headline inflation. But then in the medium term, this supply shock, which is implied by the virus, means that an ever-expanding monetary and fiscal stimulus will be inflationary at some point. When you look at the experience of other countries, such as Japan, this has shown that there can be more downward pressure forces on inflation rather than upward forces, even when monetary policy remains loose. But the truly unprecedented scale of the current monetary policy stimulus should make us vigilant about inflation spikes this time around.
Meanwhile, if you look at China, the response to the pandemic has been rather restrained compared to G20 countries. In your view, is this because their economy is in better shape to weather any slowdown?
It's true that China has shown a more restrained approach to policy stimulus. The government is relying increasingly on fiscal support, and we expect the government's plan to push the general government budget balance to a deficit of 11% of GDP in 2020. And looking at the fiscal response this year that include, for example, tax relief and deferrals, infrastructure investment and support for SMEs. But it's interesting to see that the government continues to emphasize the need to contain financial risks. So that's clearly a priority, although they did state as well that monetary and credit aggregates will increase at a faster pace this year than last year. So that will mean a higher leverage in the economy. Regarding the recovery, well, it seems pretty uneven so far, despite some initial optimism around the prospects of a sharp rebound. So if we look at latest activity indicators, industrial production, real estate development, and also some investment spending categories have now reverted to mildly positive year-on-year growth. But at the same time, consumption trends remains anemic, probably a result of a negative shock that the pandemic has had on household incomes and employment. So for the economy as a whole, we think that GDP will probably remain well below the levels that we were looking at before the virus outbreak. And we expect that real GDP growth will be just 0.7% in 2020, much lower than previous level.
Anna Marina, what is your assessment of the responses coming out from emerging markets?
Yeah, it's true. In emerging markets, the macro policy response to the coronavirus crisis has been much less aggressive. But I think it's also worth noting that the scale of the policy response is very uneven across countries. So let's take a few examples here. India and Mexico, they have announced very limited response to the crisis. So looking at direct new discretionary fiscal measures or new liquidity facilities adopted by the central banks, all of that accounts for less than 2% of GDP in both countries. However, when you look at Poland or South Africa, they have quite substantially beefed up their policy responses. In Poland, there is new budgetary measures, new credit guarantees, new microloans for entrepreneurs. There is also liquidity provided to businesses. Another country which is interesting is Brazil, that has announced quite a big fiscal package, but it's not sure how much of that is actually reprioritization of spending, and the deficit impact might actually be smaller than what has been announced. But the Central Bank of Brazil has also pledged large liquidity injections. And also new announcements that were being made. So Korea has announced a third supplementary budget, and more recently Russia has also announced a large recovery plan. So it seems that some countries are increasing their response to the crisis gradually.
And thank you for joining us on the line today, Marina. That was Marina Stefani of Fitch Ratings there with their some highlights from their report about the Fitch 20 countries and their fiscal responses to the pandemic.
Well, many variables will come into play, right, in putting together an economic stimulus response. So much depends on where you are on the COVID-19 curve, what's the potential unemployment level, number of insolvencies, and also the state of healthcare to be able to absorb any spikes if you want to reopen the economy. But one thing I know, the best plan can get derailed if execution is poor.
Yeah,
right? If you cannot put money into people's pockets quick enough.
Yeah, that's what Professor Rosario was saying, right? It depends on how much gets actually into the pockets of the needy. I think the other part of it is also the extent of the response is also dependent and contingent upon the strength of that country's currency, right? So, like, for example, Singapore can afford to dip into its reserves, its savings, but Malaysia can't necessarily because it doesn't have as much savings. And not every country is like in America where you have your reserve status where you can just print your way out of trouble.
Right, and this is the highlights the disparity between some nations, right? Not all nations can have their can dip into fiscal stimulus at the same rate or do whatever they want with monetary policy. And that's, I think, something that she's highlighted, the differences between emerging markets and here. But right now, we're going into a few messages. And when we come back, we'll be speaking to Lim Boon Ping, president of the Malaysian Institute of Estate Agents, on the issue of vacancies in shop lots and commercial areas. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.